podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. What is up? And welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. First of all, happy new year to everybody watching. Hope you all had a brilliant Christmas. If you celebrate, if you don't, I just hope you had a good end to 2023. But first things first, Shiggs, welcome back, mate. How you doing, mate?
I'm well, bro. It's been a while since I've been on, man. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Glad to be back, and I'm glad to be starting the new year with a win, because this time last year it wasn't like this. So, boy.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. This time last year, I think we was like sixth and about 7 or 8 points already off the top four. So, you fast forward 12 months and we're top of the league. And life is good at the minute. Obviously, you know, anything can happen. But right now, we're doing fine. Guys, first of all, before we carry on, make sure you check out the podcast sponsor, yourfootcard.com. Link in the description. You can use TAT pod at checkout for 15% off. Just grab this. This is just one that I have that the guy sent me. It's Kenny Dalglish, obviously Liverpool icon. You know, one of the all-time greats. You can get any picture on these. You can get any customization, any stats, any style of card. Amazing presents. Christmas has just gone, obviously, but any occasion they are amazing for. We are going to get straight into it. And Mike is on his way. Mike will be coming in just a moment. Let me try and share my screen because I've got the lineup and match stats. Where can I do that? One moment, guys. I'm rusty. I've not used this in a long time to live stream. I did the Burnley one, but I did it as a video. So live streaming, I've not done one in a while. Here we go, Shiggs. I'm going to get your thoughts on the lineup first of all. We had Alisson in goal, Gomez, Virgil, Konate, Trent, Curtis Jones, Endo, Szoboszlai, Luis Diaz, Darwin Nunez, and Mo Salah. Was you confident when you seen that lineup, mate?
Yeah, I was. The guy, how the times have changed. Do you remember me at the beginning of the season when I was talking about Endo? Look, like I'm so happy he was in the team. It was immense again today. Quality. I mean this when I said it. We might actually miss him when he goes, along with Salah. He's been immense. Like he's going into the team and he's become a mainstay. Well, not a mainstay, but him and Jones. I was happy that got a start as well, because he. Remember before, I think it was last season, I was saying that he doesn't know what type of midfielder is, and this season he seems to have grown into what he needs to be for the team.
Yeah.
So I was happy with the starting lineup.
Yeah, me too. I think that is pretty much the starting lineup I went with. I think the only difference was I thought Gakpo may have started, but Klopp did go Luis Diaz, and we'll speak about Diaz in just a while. But just quickly, I did think that was his best performance of the season so far. I thought he was brilliant.
Diaz.
I really did. I said on the TAT space before the game that I think it's quite over-exaggerated on, you know, how people think he's so poor. Like, I get it, he's changed. That injury obviously has taken a little bit from his game. You know, anybody can see that. But he's still got something to offer. And today I thought it was brilliant. When he went off, I was actually quite frustrated because he was the one creating everything. And, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen that. And I just thought, like, he's in his stride now. He's in his rhythm. He did go off. And ultimately, the subs worked. For a moment, I didn't think they were working. I felt like we lost a bit of our rhythm. And I know I'm getting ahead. We'll go back to the start in a moment. But it took about 10 minutes for those subs to get used to the game, they cooked, man, and we got what we deserved. Let's go back to the start then, Shiggs, because it was a really good start, wasn't it? We were on the front foot, we were just penetrating them with attack after attack after attack, but yet again, we just couldn't find the opening goal, and we have chance after chance. Nunez has some chances, a very big chance. Talk to me about these chances. Why is it so difficult for us right now to get that early goal to then take the pressure off for the rest of the game?
I think it's just composure, especially with Nunez. I've been Nunez's biggest fan. the next couple of games, he needs to hold bench. I'm sorry. Like, you can't. Well, I don't even know. See, I say that, but then I'm like, I don't trust him to come off the bench and score like I do Jota and Gakpo to do that. That's a problem. And Gary Neville said it is so frustrating because he gets so, like, it's not a coincidence that he keeps getting these chances.
Yep.
But it's just, he don't know how to finish. Like, you know what they should do? They should, even though people might say, oh, what am I talking about? They should get Michael Owen to come in for it with him and just work on his finishing. They should do that. Because this guy should have easily already, this time, should easily have 15 goals in the league with the amount of chances he has.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. And it's so frustrating because I want him to do well, but he just keeps, like, that one-on-one chance he had when the defender made a chance. Bro, just take your time. You had time.
Yeah,
God, thank God we won that game. Because could you imagine if we hadn't won that game? It would have been...
No, I completely agree what you're saying. And, you know, we were here from the minute Nunes signed defending him. And, you know, I will defend it. I will keep defending him in some ways because he missed so many chances today. And obviously the main one that you just mentioned, the 1v1, he did set up the goal. But I don't know, that when I look at Darwin Nunes' performances, I think as a performance of whole, I wouldn't have said that's a poor performance.
No. Don't misunderstand me. It's not like...
No, I'm not saying you've said that. I'm not saying you've said... Yeah. But people will, and people will go on about it. Yes, the big chances are a problem. And like you said, if we don't win the game, that's what we're all looking back at. And, you know, nobody can defend him. In fact, I'm not even going to defend him too much today. But what I will say is, there was a moment in the second half where, again, when he got subbed off, I'm thinking, I hope this doesn't take away the threat. Because, yeah, he's missing chances, but he is our biggest threat. And that's just a fact. You look at the amount of chances that he gets. The only problem is he needs to start scoring them. He needs to take at least one of them away. And he's not doing it at the moment. And it's like, where do we go from there? Because he's doing everything else right. But the one crucial part to his game, he's left. Not. And I don't know if you learn that at the age he's at. Do you honestly learn to finish at that age? I wouldn't have thought so.
I think it might just be a mental thing to him to just take a moment when the chance comes. Don't snatch it. Take a moment, compose yourself. Like, it's like everything else in this game is quality. He holds the ball up well, makes, like, but it's like I said earlier, it can't be a coincidence that the chances are always falling to him. That's not a coincidence. So it's just, he needs to learn how to finish. That's the only thing. And I don't know. It's a conundrum, but I'm glad that's not going to be the story of the game, because we were magnificent today. We were. Up until that final third, Newcastle, even though they got two goals, they were nowhere in the game. Nowhere.
No, you're right, and it looked. You're right, because I think at one point the scoreline was really flattering them, because, like you said, it was just absolute pure dominance from us, and you can see in the stats, 7.27 XG. I think they said on Sky that's the highest XG ever recorded,
and the most shots on goal in a game ever.
Yeah, 34 shots, 15 on target. So, you know, Dubravka as well. People going on about Dubravka, but a lot of them were straight at him.
Listen, he had a man of the match kind of game.
A lot of the saves, they were straight at him.
Some
good saves. Yeah, you have. But I think it was more of our finishing not being there. But ultimately, you know, like I say, you keep giving this team chances on law of averages, you're going to score goals. And Liverpool, no matter if we've got the Salah, Firmino, Mane or this attack, at the end of the day, if you keep giving us them chances, we are going to score. And that's what we did today. It was frustrating a lot of the time. Of course it was, especially when Mo Salah misses his penalty, which I want to talk about just quickly, Shiggs, before we carry on. That's four misses in Salah's last 10 penalties. Is it time to maybe give someone else the ball? Or did he show when he scored the penalty that he still, you know, got it?
Did you see the interview that he did with Sky?
No.
So basically, they asked him, when he missed the first penny, was there any chance that someone else was going to take the second penny? And he just looked at him like, what? Are you mad? Like, so I don't think that anybody's taking that off him anytime soon. But hopefully Summerside takes the penalties when while he's away. Because that guy never misses from what I've seen. So he didn't really have a good game today as well, man. But he looked leggy. And I think he pulled up with a hamstring. So, but yeah, no, he was Salah. He's got a lot of credit in the bank. So I know he missed. Mr. Penny, but he scored two and set up one as well. So overall, he compensated for the missed goal, for the missed penalty. But and the second time he took it as well, a little more composed.
Yeah, I think Salah as well, from the spot, just touching on that part, I think his run up and the way he's taken them, to me, it's never really been convincing. But for whatever reason, he just always manages to score them. And it's like, every time he steps up to score one, I'm never actually that confident, Shiggs, because of his run up and the way he strikes the ball.
I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to miss.
Yeah, there's no, like, for me, it's just weird because I've heard people say, like, he doesn't really have a technique. He just runs and hits it. But like I say, he just scores them every time. Obviously, he's missed four in his last 10. The first one today, obviously, he misses. But like you say, he gets the second opportunity and then he puts it away. So I think that is him showing that, you know, these things don't really affect him mentally. And he'll just keep going. If he makes a mistake, he'll keep going. And there is a conversation to maybe put Szoboszlai on them or Trent or somebody else. You know, when AFCON starts and he is away, they are going to get that chance, aren't they? So it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, hopefully it is Szoboszlai that takes them. But it's just, look, I think, I don't know, were you in the half-time space with me? Yeah, you were, weren't you?
Like, yeah, rough.
We played well today. That's probably one of the better performances we've had all season at home, considering the last two games we've had whereby we haven't been clinical as we need to be. So for me, look, I'm happy that we start off the new year, and the way we start off the game, we were on, put our foot on their neck from the beginning, and that's how we need to be at home from now on. Because, like I said, man, this next run, these next 4 or 5 games are going to be crucial to see where we are in February, March time. So yeah, but we started well. Long may that continue.
Yeah, we did. We started off on the front foot. We go into the break at 0-0, and I did think at one point, Shiggs, that it was giving me the same vibe.
Was it 0-0 or 1-1?
It was 0-0 at halftime.
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was 0-0.
We had so many. I can't believe that, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Shiggs. It was giving me Man United vibes. You know, when you just pepper the team so many times, but you've got nothing to show for it. That's exactly how I was feeling. And I just felt like, obviously, Anthony Taylor, we could speak about him all night. I'm not going to, because I don't want this podcast to go on all night. But I don't know. I think he made a few poor decisions in the first half, especially Joe Linton not getting booked, which I just can't believe for the life of me how he didn't get booked for that challenge. I just felt like towards half time, the players were just starting to get a bit ratty, starting to sort of lose their heads a bit. And it's like, there's no need.
They were starting to lose it. I think that was a combination of things. One, the frustration with the amount of the bookings that they weren't given to Newcastle. And two, the amount of chances that we missed in that first half. Bro, this is not word of a lie. We should have been easily 2-3 up in the first half. Easily.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
So I just think, I think the frustration of the game not going their way and them not taking their chances was the reason why people were getting frustrated, because they started to lose their head.
Yeah, absolutely. Half time obviously comes, and there was no changes for us, but it wasn't too long until after half time where we didn't open the scoring. And just, oh, he's not ready yet. Mike is in the building, but he's not ready himself, so we'll give him a couple minutes. Shiggs, Salah scores his goal, assisted by Darwin Nunes after some brilliant play.
By Diaz.
Yeah, that run that Diaz went on. And that just goes to show the conversation we were having at the start when Diaz playing well and probably his best performance of the season. He won't get anything for that goal, will he? Because obviously it was an assist from Nunes, a goal from Salah.
No, but for
he had the most crucial part in it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And also as well, there was a couple of times where he Cruyff turned the players. And he just, that was his best performance for a while. And I just think, I don't know what happened, maybe because Bobby Firmino and Fabinho were back in the, he felt some South American love and just wanted to put in a show for them. But he was, even though we didn't take our chances in the first half, he was, I would say he was our best player.
What are we saying, boys? What are we saying here, Shiggs?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, brother. What agenda are you running right now? What have I walked into?
That Diaz was the best player in the first half.
Actually, I agree with that. No, never mind. No agenda. I agree with that. I thought he was absolutely exceptional in that first half, Shiggs. I completely agree with you.
He was a menace that we've known him to be when he first came to the club. I just say to Ben, because I think Fabinho and Firmino were in the stands, he wanted to put on a show for them. But like you said earlier, Ben, I was a little disappointed that he came off because I think he warranted to stay on the pitch, but not mad at it. But like I said, hopefully this carries over into the next couple of games now and he starts getting back to his best. Also, as well, I've got to say this. I think, and you might think different, I think Joe Gomez helped him as well.
Massively. I agree with that. No, I do.
Agree with me twice? What's going on? I know.
Shiggs, new year, new me, bro. Yeah. New year, new me. New year, new me. I'm trying to get you on my side for when I make statements in a minute.
But now, like I said, Joe Gomez has been, what a pass by McAllister. Sorry.
Unreal. I'll be talking about that. Don't worry.
Slyly, he's been playing really well. So, like I said, but Diaz, for me, he was the best player. But when they brought on Jota and Gakpo, it took a little while for them to get into the game. But it just shows, man, like the at the moment the attack over the last two games before Burnley weren't where it needed to be. But I feel like they've got back into their stride. And I don't know what Jota does, but he seems to have an effect of like. He just knows where the goal is. That goal he set up for Jones, man.
The thing with Jota, listen, I'll say this on Jota. I think out of our forward line, maybe moving Salah, not including Salah, he's the most composed by an absolute mile. And like that, listen, there's conversations to be had about the four in question there, Gakpo, Diaz, Nunes, Jota. There's conversations to be had there. And I will not be on social media this week because I can't be bothered listening to the same things being said. But I think overall, Jota's composure is what probably separates him from that pack.
Yeah,
I think sometimes Gakpo's a bit too slow for me in his decision-making. I thought he got lucky with his finish today. I don't think it was a clear
finish. Yeah, I think he missed it.
I'll tell you right now.
It was a complete miskick.
Yeah, it was a complete miskick. But at the end of the day, you get the ball in the back of the net. You get the ball in the back of the net. That's all that matters. But I don't think Gakpo's overall performance when he came on was good. However, he scored. Nunes, the complete opposite. I thought Nunes played a brilliant game. However, I can't defend it when you're not scoring. I seen some people saying in the first half about Nunes saying, "Oh, we missed three sitters." He didn't. He missed one definite sitter, and there was one really good save. That's what I seen. The one where Salah's passed it into him, quick instinctive finish. That's a good save. The one-on-one where he's won the ball back off the defender, he has to score. That's for me. That's how I think. But the second half is where things became inexcusable because there were... For me, the header needs to be on target. If he has the header and doesn't score it, but it's on target, it's one of them. But he's not reaching back. He's not doing it. It's a clean header for him, and he's got to get that on target. There are other moments where his first couple of touches, every time we were in and around the box, were not ideal. But I agree with you.
What's going on there?
I know. Me and Shiggs on the same side. What a year. What a year we're having. You know, look at this. This should be our last pod together because this will never happen again. But his impact on the game, however, I thought was fantastic. I thought he was brilliant. You're up against the tired Newcastle side, and his movement... There's a reason he gets all these chances. It's because of how good he is in that movement side of things. But you've got to finish your chance off. And I can't defend a striker that can't finish his chances as consistently as he gets them. So it really is like, if you're playing Nunes, you need to have goal scorers either side of him, which I love Diaz. Diaz played brilliantly, but you can't play Diaz and Jota together. Sorry, it's Diaz and Nunes together. You have to play Jota with Nunes because Jota's going to finish the chances. Salah will finish the chances. Nunes, he may not, but he'll create the space for those two. Gakpo, I wasn't thrilled by his performance, but it is what it is. Maybe I'm being too critical on him. I don't know. What do you guys think about Gakpo's performance when he came on?
No, I wasn't too disappointed with him. He got a goal. There was a couple of chances that he got. I think now, again, it's a case of players know that if they don't score, there's someone on the bench that will come and take your spot. And that's how it should be, because for me, first half, I was saying in the spaces that they should get Graven Bertrand and maybe Jota on. I didn't think he would be on Gakpo yet, because like we said earlier, Diaz was having a good game. So I wanted Diaz to get another 15, 20 minutes. But the gaffer knows what the gaffer knows, and he made the change. He got the goal.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The Nunes thing, I was speaking about earlier, actually. I think the only one really which I'm thinking you've absolutely got to score is the one that we obviously all know, the one where he's took it from the defender. He's got all the time in the world. I think the header, I think if you watch it back, it is going over him. So he has got to like get all the power on it. Look, I'm not excusing him. I said it half time. I can't excuse it anymore. I love him and I will support him and I will stick.
Listen, he's one of those players. He's one of those players you love. Like, I understand. Yeah. I understand completely. Yeah,
and I still have the belief and confidence that he will turn it around, because like we've all said, it's surely impossible for him not to with the amount of chances he gets. And if he doesn't turn it around, I've always said this, I'm giving him this season. And if he's not got 15, 20 goals in the league, so time is ticking, then maybe in the summer we do have to have a conversation. But not get rid of him. But
he can't be a main man.
It's the main number nine. What I will say is there's enough time for him now to go and make himself, and I'll even go as far to say Liverpool legend. If he goes and has decisive moments in runs that, you know, ultimately go on to win something big, all these people that have already written him off, they're going to be like, oh, I probably shouldn't have gone too heavy on him, because now...
I'm going to come across here, but... I know what you're saying, because listen, you see it all the time with certain players that get, you know, written off. So Curtis Jones is a great example of it. I put a tweet out earlier saying that I hope Gravenberch doesn't get the same treatment that I've seen certain players that we have be given, because Gravenberch, we're not going to see the best of him until next year. We're not. I have no expectation on him for this season. Absolutely none. If he comes on and plays well, great. If he comes on and drops a stinker, is what it is. He's a young lad. He's learning a whole new system, which he's never played in a high pressing team. Ajax were not that. Right, Munich were not that. His role in this team, he's learning, and he's getting his fitness up. And I really have no expectation on him this season. In the same way that Curtis Jones, in his first couple of years, I had no expectation on him, because he's a young lad. He's learning the game, he's learning the system, and he's learning how to play our way. Jones now, look how good he is. Look how many people wrote him off. I wrote him off at one point, but when I say wrote off, I mean squad player at most, maybe loan out, maybe even sell. The majority consensus on Nunes, I feel now, is a case of we know what he can bring, but I think the majority don't believe he's going to become a 20-goal season striker. And I think that's probably what a lot of people need to be proved, you know, wrong for, in a way, if possible. I think it is frustrating for me when I see a lot of Nunes slander, but I don't really see criticism of Szoboszlai, who I think has been genuinely awful for a month. I really have not seen a good 90-minute Szoboszlai performance in over a month, and I'd love to hear pushback on that.
You hear no argument. Oh my god, you hear no argument.
Yeah, that's what I mean. What's the point of a podcast? Not arguing, boys.
I'm with you.
No, so
for me, and this is kind of mad, because I think he pulled up with a bit of a hamstring. The thing with Szoboszlai is I'll give him a little bit of leeway. Reason being is because in Germany, you'd have been on a break right as now.
Oh, yeah. So, right. Okay.
So for him, it's, and this is
too many games. You think too many minutes in the legs early on.
Like, he doesn't hit from when do they break? I think it's from 23rd till the, I think, 4th or 5th of Jan, they're off.
Right. So you think it's just too many minutes in the legs?
Yeah. I just think it's a culmination. Because even before this period, he looked tired. Even in the game against Sheffield United, he looked tired.
Yeah. Listen, I know what you're saying. I think for me, my issue is, and listen, you're always going to have this when it comes to sort of like social media commentary of anyone. You know, people have their favorites, people have their biases. I think Szoboszlai has skipped away from a lot of criticism. Yeah, from a lot of criticism that he probably should be getting, because I'm going to be honest, this is a bold statement. I'm only saying this because it's on the podcast. Maybe this is hyperbole, but I've watched Jordan Henderson put in similar performances and people call for his head consistently. And not about last season's Henderson.
No. The only reason I think Superstar doesn't get as much criticism is because he's called some worldies this season that Jordan can only dream of.
But in terms of performance, I think he's partially at fault for the goal we can see through Isaac. I don't think him and Trent do enough to get the ball back. I don't think people focus on Van Dijk. He gives the ball away. He gave the ball away sloppily on several occasions. The power on the pass was off. I know the pitch almost was waterlogged in certain areas, in fairness, which I did notice in the second half more. But I'm still not going to forgive it because I just feel like he's quite indecisive at the moment. And the thing is, in terms of quality in midfield, I'm sure we can all agree going forward, he probably is, without a doubt, head and shoulders above the rest of them in terms of the quality he could provide.
Right now, I would say Endo's our best midfielder right now.
Yeah, I'm all about final third, though. Just final third and product midfield.
No, I'm talking about overall. Like
overall.
In terms of keeping the ball, keeping things ticking over, and not giving the ball away, recovery.
Ben and I sit here. Talk about Endo to Ben and I, man. Me and Ben, we have been on the Endo train. Don't you worry.
Yeah, but I only just bought my ticket recently.
So. Yeah. No, you get on. I got room. We got room here. Pull up a chair, man. No, I think for me, like, I look at, I've said this all season. McAllister's our best signing of the summer. He's our best midfielder.
That pass he made to Jota. That's
ridiculous.
I think Szoboszlai, I completely agree with what you're saying. But I'm also in the camp of, I know what he can do and I know how good he can be. And I know that he's got world-class potential.
Yeah, I agree.
I just need to see him keep things more simple, I think. I think when he tries to do those defence-splitting passes every 2 seconds, and there was one moment where he had the ball at his feet and he just ran it into a Newcastle player and then they work on this. It's like, you just need to cut those things out. And I have been calling for Harvey Elliott to start games and all I get told is, no, he's an impact sub. So what? He causes an impact from the bench. Like, just start him. Like, give him a chance. Just because he creates impact from the bench doesn't mean he can't be a starter for a few
Harvey's
games.
Brilliant. If Harvey started, he doesn't have the same impact he does when he's coming off the bench.
Players aren't pulling the weight, they don't start for me. It's the same. People have the same energy for other players, so I keep it for every single position. If anyone's not playing well, I don't know how far it goes back to. I've not really given it much thought, but Mike thinks it's a month. Why is he still starting?
Well, I'll tell you why. It'll be down to how the position is played. So it'll be down to like the press. That's what it'll come to. Because Klopp said in his interviews, you work hard, you get it. It's one of the same reasons I think Nunes has started more than Gakpo, which is mad because last season Gakpo played that role so much better than Nunes. Yeah. But I think it's just down to off the ball, playing the position to the way Klopp and Linders want it. Now, I agree, though. I think Elliot, for me, I remember watching the West Ham game, right? I think that's what we've seen in the West Ham game where Szoboszlai and Elliot technically started on the right, but him and Szoboszlai consistently interchanged. And I think that is what we're going to see now going forward for the next 10 games. You're going to see Elliot and Szoboszlai in that right pocket. We'll never know who's really in the midfield thing until you're looking at us off the ball. But on the ball, those two will consistently interchange and it will benefit Szoboszlai because he'll be in a more natural position forward.
Yeah.
And he'll have more pressure on him to be in that box to play that final pass. I think it'll benefit him. In the same way, I think Elliot will then get a run of games, which will be fantastic for him. But it just wasn't good enough today from him. But you saying that, we won 4-2, so maybe I should be more positive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're not looking down on them too much. We've got to have these conversations about players, good and bad, and we'll get on to the good stuff. Of course we will. I just think, you know, if he has been poor, which a lot of people seem to think now, and, you know, I get the whole thing of Elliot being a spark from the bench and having that impact, but, like, he needs more chances to start games as well. He's not just going to be a bench player all his life. He's still only, what, 19, 20? Like, give him an opportunity, and I think he will get him. Like you say, Mike, you know, we've got Arsenal coming up in the cup, then AFCON, he's probably going to play on the wing a couple of those games while Salah's away. Yeah. He's going to get those chances, and I know Harvey's going to take them because I know how good he is. I just feel like if certain midfielders aren't pulling their weight, they shouldn't play. But like you say, Mike, we won 4-2. Who really cares? let's move on then. What else happened then?
Jota dive? Are you talking about that?
Let's get into that. I want to hear your two's piece, then I want to see mine. So
Can I?
Go ahead, Mike.
I came in here. It's been a minute since I've been on a pod, so I just got to get all the energy out. Listen, that was a dive. I really, don't get me wrong, if you're about to defend it, fair enough. But for me,
that's what Lake says.
No, Shiggs. I'll tell you right now, it reminded me of when Andy Carroll played for us, and Andy Carroll went through 1-on-1 and he dived over the keeper. And we all sat there and went, why has he dived? Makes no sense. That's exactly what happened here. He rounded the keeper. The ball's not too far ahead of him. There is the slightest bit of contact. I'm not going to lie. The first five times I watched it, I don't see. It's that minimal. So then his elbow catches him and he takes four steps forward and falls over. It's a dive. And what I hate so much is that I go on the timeline every day and I see, oh, PGMOL are against Liverpool. They don't want us to win the league. It's corrupt. It's not corrupt. It's like I've been saying from the start. It's insanely incompetent. That's what it is. It's just pure incompetence. VAR have looked at that and felt like that you can't overrule it. It's a clear and obvious error. It's not a penalty. Newcastle were hard done by there. We should have won, deserved to win. That's not an argument. But in that moment, I'm sorry, I don't understand it. Because I guarantee when next decision goes against us, PGMOL, corrupt, they're against us. It's not. It's insane incompetency when no one that officiates the game seems to understand the game. And I can't understand that. Because what it all does is it fuels these weird speculations of they're against us. No, they're against us. No, they're against us. Every club in the league believes the PGMOL has an agenda against them. Here's an idea. They're just bad at their job.
Listen, the VAR does not discriminate. Anyone can get it. Like
anyone can get it.
Arsenal fan, everything.
Everyone has it. Yeah.
It don't discriminate.
Listen, so what I will say is
agenda. I just think, like you said, I just think it's just. It's just a flip of the coin. Hopefully, you get a team that is good at their job and is thorough, and they make decisions based on the information that they're given in the game. That's all you can hope for.
It's bizarre. Go on, Ben.
I know you two are both saying 100%, and I have been guilty of saying that, like, corruption and stuff. And I do think that we get a lot worse than other teams. I will say that, and I do feel like we've been done harder by a lot of teams. And obviously, the Luis Diaz thing against Spurs is the
Arsenal. Without a doubt, yeah. That was
what I will say is, even if you think this is a dive, which I do think there's contact, so I think he's got the right to go down. Whether he goes down easily is up to him or not. But fair, there is contact. Fair. And you are told as a kid, if you feel contact, you're in your rights to go down, and then you ask the ref the question, yeah, right?
Do you think he should have gone down?
He could have scored.
I don't think that's why I don't think it's a dive. Why would he not score on purpose? That's why I can't understand it.
Like, I can't understand it either. Yeah.
So I don't think it's a dive. I genuinely think that even if it's the slightest bit of contact because of the conditions and the speed he's running at, I genuinely think it's just made him go down. And whether he's gone down easily is a different question. But what I will say on the back of that is, if you think this is a poor decision, wow, well done. A poor decision against Liverpool. That's about one against four.
Yeah,
against us. It's not really balanced itself out.
No, by no means am I saying it's balanced itself out. And then, but
no,
I'm not,
I know you're not. But,
I listen, this is the issue with social media in general. It's one of the reasons why, like, I'm a part of football Twitter by proxy.
I keep it at arm's length now.
Yeah, but I love the people I met on it, you know, yourself, Shiggs, you know, a couple of people at TAT. But, like, the actual timeline is just ridiculous. I can't look at it seriously. Because this is, like you said, now Arsenal fans, United fans and City fans are like, oh, PGML want Liverpool to win the league. Like, we didn't just have, what was it? What was the stats? Like, the most shots in the league against any single team.
Most shots, yeah.
Yeah, like, come on, we battered them. Of course we were going to get 3 points, deserved the 3 points. The goals we conceded were sloppy on our part. They weren't good from Newcastle. Did laugh, though. Did you see that in Eddie Howe's post-match interview, he thought the Endo one was a pen?
Yeah.
Oh, that's clutching, man.
Yeah,
I absolutely can't stand that bloke. Honestly, he's a glorified PE teacher. I had a PE teacher that looked like Eddie Howe, and that's why I can't take him seriously.
Not what it is.
His name was Mr. Cook. Right. If you're watching, then big up Mr. Cook. But I just don't. I said a few weeks ago that Eddie Howe will be under pressure. And people were like, what? What do you mean?
I'm
losing every single away game they play.
No,
they lose.
Yeah. Well, it's the next game. Big one. Next one's a big one.
Hella injuries.
They have been. They've had nine injuries. They've had nine.
Injuries are part of the game, mate. Injuries are part of the game.
Come on now. We had nine senior players out injured, and our best defensive midfielder suspended for 9 months. You would not sit here and go, injuries are part of the game.
Mike, my sympathy for injured players went in 2021. I don't want to hear it. I do not for opposing to hear injuries as an excuse. We had Nat Phillips, we had Reece Williams, we had Ozan Kabak, we had Fabinho playing at centre back. Henderson, did anyone give a damn? No. Did anyone give us a bit of sympathy? No. Not that I wanted it, but no. Well, listen, everyone just get on with it. Injuries happen. So, respectively, Tottenham, Newcastle, Arsenal, United, get on with it. Win the league. Go on.
Listen, they aren't lucky though. They don't have players like Nat Phillips. We were very, very lucky.
They don't have the Bolton Baresi, do they, mate? You know what I mean?
No, they don't, and it's not their fault. But moving on.
I feel sorry for the players, don't get me wrong, because as a human being, it's obviously not nice for the players to get injured. But for the clubs and the fans, get stuffed, man. Honestly. Get on with the game, mate. You know
I'm here for it.
But, all right, so listen, move from the Jota penalty. Mo Salah's second half performance, I thought was the best I've seen of him for a while.
Brilliant. Did you
hear his amazing. Yeah, he swapped his boots at halftime.
Yeah, no, not just that. And he's like, oh, I can't leave going to African nations with a performance like that.
Yeah, he locked in. And I love that because he had even admitting that in an interview, I thought it was beautiful. I liked how Salah said in his interview as well, he thinks we'll be completely fine without him. I thought that took a lot of grace for him to just be comfortable with that. I think we will be, man. I really do. I think players step up. So I told you, I'm putting Elliot there and Elliot and Szoboszlai to change the way they did against West Ham. I think that was a trial run. I really do.
Okay, I'm not mad at it either.
That's how I see it. If I'm right, by the way, I don't know if you guys have seen it, by the way. Little text exchange I had with TAT admin that got posted online. Absolutely called the Mo Salah pen. Like, absolutely. Everyone was like, oh, he's going to miss it. It's going to be awful. I was like, he's slotting it bottom left, by the way. Nailed it. Love that. Just saying, a little bit of praise. Come on now.
I thought he was going to miss. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to miss.
I was nervous. But it's a great 3 points. That leaves us 3 points clear of 5 points clear of Manchester City.
You know what, Mike?
They've got a game in hand.
I know what Ben's going for. I'm ready. Ben, I'm ready. I'm here for it. Get the league table up. Let's have a look.
I think they're going to be 2 points behind us.
Two. City's next game is what? What's that game in hand?
Is it not Newcastle?
They have to play Newcastle, but I think they have. Do they not have a game before it? I might be off.
They got Huddersfield in the cup and Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be 2 points behind us.
Yeah, Newcastle at home.
2 points behind us.
No, it's away.
Yeah, City win. Oh, sorry. Away at Newcastle, you mean? At St. James's. I don't know, man. I think
still win.
They'll lose. If Man City play like they did against Sheffield United, they're winning that game 2-0.
I'll call it now. That's going to be a draw. Guaranteed.
I'm not mad at it, but I just don't see that happening.
I think it'll be a draw.
At Newcastle, man, they look like they're afraid to play now.
What a season Villa having. My God, fair play. Look at that.
The reason I pulled up this league table more than anything, and Mike will know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I know. This is the clip. This is the party.
Mike has been putting it off and putting it off.
Be respectful. Be respectful.
His word cannot come out of his mouth. Mike, I'm going to ask you a question.
It's a
yes or no answer. Are Liverpool Football Club in a title race?
Yes.
There we go.
I'm here.
Mike Quill has just confirmed that Liverpool. Wait,
was it saying that before? No.
Listen. Let me put this because then you can use this as part of the clip. All right. I've been putting this off right for half the season. I've been saying since the start of the season, two little things. Either after the City game or halfway through the season, we've reached that point. I've been blown away. I think we're ahead of schedule. I think everyone can agree with that. I think we've got fortunate that City haven't turned up the way they used to have done in previous seasons.
Well, you know what?
Arsenal, hold on.
No. Just quickly, they've only got 2 more points than they did last season.
Arsenal are 10 points worse.
Yeah, 13.
Yeah, 13. That is a byproduct of them being in the Champions League. They've changed the system, etc. Still a three-way race for me. Arsenal aren't out of this race. We are in the race. We are not favourites yet. We will be favourites. I'll tell you this. If come the next time we play City, we have a 5-point gap on them. Before we play them, we're favourites.
When do we play City again?
It's two teams, guys.
It's three teams, so it's impossible.
It's two teams. I said start season, and I'll stand by this. The team that finishes above Manchester City this year will win the Premier League.
I don't argue that. Arsenal can finish third level on points if
they're
you want.
They're not very good. They signed Declan Rice and got worse.
No, listen.
They spent 100 million on a midfielder. They could have got Wataru Endo for 20 mil.
Arsenal, in terms of what they're trying to do this season, is they're trying to be more controlling of games so they don't, ironically, so they don't bottle games, i.e. Southampton. However, as a result of that, they have shifted tactically. They've got an imbalanced midfield. Kai Havertz was a questionable signing. They put all the pressure on their wingers to score goals. They need a striker. If they have a solid January and a tactical switch, they can go on a run. And I give you an example of a team that needed a tactical switch and went on a run, us last season when we put Trent inverted. Before then, if I said the same 11, right, would go on the run they went on, you would have called me crazy. A smart tactical switch by coaches can change a season. Arsenal, a little bit of work, you don't know what's going to happen. I think it's so naive of our fan base to say now, because don't get me wrong, end of the season, they could be out of it. You're right. But I just think it's so naive to just...
Yeah, one or two games. Result.
Two bad results.
Yeah. When do we play City?
March. Towards the end, isn't it?
If I'm right,
I'm not saying it. Let me just say now, I'm not just saying it on the back of two results.
No, you've said it. You've been in this for a minute.
Arsenal, as a football club, talking to some... Well, I don't really talk to them, but I see their fans on social media. I see how arrogant and cocky they are. I'm just never worried about them. Like, obviously, I think last season, if they were going to win a Premier League, how were they not doing it last season when they were 95? They were top of the league for 95% of the season. I think City were only top of the league for like 11 days or something like that.
They were top of the league when they
came. We still see these screenshots of 13-14 league tables when City literally had games in hand over us. And people say that's the biggest collapse of all time. No, it's Arsenal last season. If we was in that position Arsenal were in last season, and we didn't win the league, people would still be going on about it now. The DVDs made, they'll have spaces all day long. So, I'm not worried about Arsenal. I'm not worried about Mikel Arteta. I think he's a good manager. I don't think he's a world-class manager. And to win a Premier League and to beat Pep Guardiola to a Premier League, you need to be a world-class manager. And that's
With anything you said. I'll say that. I don't disagree with that. Anything you just said there right at the end, don't disagree with it. You're right.
If Arsenal prove me wrong, I'm happy to sit here and take it and hold my hands up and say I was wrong. But Shakes, I just don't see it. Do you?
Careful. He's about to disagree with me.
You know what it is? I watched that Fulham and Arsenal game. And I don't know what's happened with Saka and Martinelli, but they look like shadows of themselves. Like, I know Saka got the goal, but... I can't explain it, because at the beginning of the season, Saka was quality. Martinelli, I've always had my reservations about him. I just think he's a pace merchant, and that's it. But that's my opinion. But like, listen, long may it continue.
Listen, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm excited that we have Maka back. I'm excited that we've got Jota back. And the fact that Robert looks like he's going to be back soon as well, I think it's going to be a huge boost. So
I'm disappointed Tsimikas got injured, man, because he looked like he was hitting form.
Yeah, he was hitting form. Final thing to probably speak on before we wrap up, really brief, the Fabio Carvalho news. So as you guys know, he's been recalled. We are looking to loan him out. Teams such as Southampton are interested. It has been reported that a club, Premier League club, came in to purchase him. We said no because he is apparently a part of our future plans. What are the initial thoughts of that news, guys?
Happy days.
Okay.
Ben? I think look, I don't believe it that it's part of our future plans. And I think I mentioned this in the chat with you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that could be like a PR thing to try and bump up the price if he has a successful loan spell. Like, oh, we've got this wonder kid who is eventually going to be a first team player, can't get in the squad, but we're willing to take 20, 25 mil for him. I'd love to be proved wrong, because I was excited when we signed Fabio Carvalho. I thought there was a brilliant young player in there, and there still is. But I just can't help but think last season, when we had an attacking crisis and when we had a central midfield crisis, he was never involved. They never once turned to Fabio Carvalho and said, oh, you have a run of games now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why is that? There's got to be a reason, whether it's attitude, which, you know, you see a lot of people say he's got bad attitude. I don't know if he has or not. I don't know the kid. I don't go to training sessions. So nobody really knows whether it's because of his abilities, personality, or what. But I just think if he did have a future here, then last season when we absolutely needed him the most, he would have got more game time, and he didn't. He's gone to Leipzig. I feel a bit sorry for him because I don't think that was the right club at all for us to sanction that move to. And they went and signed Xavi Simons, who is just different level to him right now. So that sort of hampered his game time there. I just hope that, you know, he goes to a team in the Championship where he is going to play week in, week out, because let's not forget, that is the league where he was flourishing in and he looked like an incredible player. And when we signed him at the time, everyone was so excited for him. So just let him go there, let him play with no expectation on him. And then obviously we'll reassess in the summer. If we do cash in and move him on and get some money in the kitty, great. If we think he's still good enough to have a role in the squad, whether that be at left wing or whatever, great. I'm happy either way. But I think, yeah, this next 6 months is absolutely crucial for his career either way, really. So,
no, know. I agree with you. I'm in agreement. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I hope he gets a loan to a Championship or Premier League club. That's all I ask, really.
But did you have anything to add, Shiggs, to that?
No, I just want the guy to be given a chance because I think there's a player in there. But listen, I trust Klopp, so whatever he wants to do, if he wants to keep him, great. If he wants to sell him, oh well, I'll be the same.
Shiggs, would you just Klopp if he plays your boy Conor Bradley on Sunday at the Emirates?
Yeah, because we don't need the FA Cup. Because for me, I'm not really bothered about the FA Cup. I'd rather win the Carabao Cup because we're in the semi-final. Like,
yeah, I know what you're saying. I want to win every. Like, I want to win it, man.
Yeah, I'm about to say I'm with. I want to win.
I know you're not doing the Shiggs, but people do look down on the FA Cup, and for me, it's still one of the biggest trophies you can win. And if
like I said, I'm not looking down on it. But if I see the team sheet and Conor Bradley's on it, I'm like, oh my god, what's he doing? Ah, right, is what it is.
Hey, yeah, back Conor Bradley. What are we doing?
It's because this goes back a long time. Yeah, had a bit of a Conor Bradley agenda at one point.
What's next?
Just real quick before we do go, let's not give the 11 because I think it's impossible to call. But what do you guys think the team will be on Sunday? Do you think it's going to be strong, a mixed team, rotated?
Are we playing on Sunday against Arsenal?
Arsenal, yeah.
Oh, man.
I think it'll be a mix. I think there's enough rest now. It's a 7-day rest to the game, or 6-day rest rather. So it's enough time for rest and recovery and a couple of sessions in. So I think it'll be a rotated side. Like I think you see Bradley in there, you see Kwanzaa. Be interesting to see whether it's Van Dijk or Konate. Probably Van Dijk because of Konate worries, but Kelleher in goal. Joe Gomez probably still starts left back. Your midfield, Endo's gone now, so you're probably saying Marker to get minutes in his legs for 60 minutes. You probably put Elliot in there.
Yeah.
Gravenberg start. No, Gravenberg start. Come on. He's not starting three. And then your front three.
Oh, yeah. True.
And then front three. Doke's out now, isn't he? So yeah, then your front three might still be pretty strong. He might do the Jota and Gakpo start because of who started today. So for me, Jota, Gakpo. And then do you put Szoboszlai in there and start that run? Do you try
Elliot?
I said Elliot in the three. So Elliot's in the midfield three for me. So
Elliot, Szoboszlai is injured.
Oh, Szoboszlai might be injured. True, yeah. So you never know. You might put Diaz on the right for all we know. Who knows? But it'll be interesting to see.
To be honest with you, that's one game I'm not. If we win, if we lose, great. Yeah. If we win, I'm not.
You know what? I think I kind of agree what you're saying, because the fact that it is Arsenal and it's away and we are now in the title race and there's all, you know, Endo, Salah's both gone, I think I'm in agreement. I think if we do lose, obviously I'm still going to be unhappy about it, but I think I can accept it a lot more than if this game was like a quarterfinal to Arsenal a bit later down. You know what I mean? I think because it's the first game in the FA Cup, which we've been absolutely stitched, by the way. I'm not going to say that's corruption either, just to let you know. I'm not going to say that the balls were hot and I'm not going to do anything.
I'm not going to lie. I do like that little theory, though, because I remember, do you remember when we had Chelsea on the Champions League?
Always.
5 years in a run. It was just like, what are we doing here? But who knows, man?
We have been stitched by that fixture, but look, if we're good enough, we'll win. If we're not good enough, we don't have the firepower, then we'll be out and we can focus on the priorities, which are the league and
Europa League,
the League Cup, which is a massive opportunity now, isn't it, to go and win that. And then obviously Europa League. I've said it all along. I think we'll win two trophies minimum this year. I think Europa League we win, and I think League Cup we win.
League Cup's really important. competent. Yeah. We just have to be competent.
And that's already looking like a really good season. Anything else on top of that could make it an incredible season, or furthermore, a historical season. So a lot to look forward to this year, guys. And we started off with a bang, a crazy game of football. I'll probably watch that back tomorrow, you know. There's a mad game. I want to see that madness again. But we'll be here, guys. We might do a preview for Arsenal. I will let you know on the Twitter. But if we don't, we will see you after the Arsenal game on Sunday evening. So take care, like, subscribe.
Take care, people.
And we'll see you next time.
Take care, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.